DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, presents Begin Again, the Spiritual Legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher. Father Gallagher was ordained in 1979 as a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. He obtained his doctorate from the Gregorian University, and he has dedicated many years to an extensive ministry of retreats, spiritual direction, and teachings about the spiritual life. Father Gallagher is the author of several books published by the Crossroads Publishing Company on the spiritual teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola and the life of Venerable Bruno Lanteri. Father Gallagher is featured on the EWTN series Living the Discerning Life, the spiritual teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Begin Again, the Spiritual Legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We continue our discussion on the life of the Venerable Bruno Lanteri and devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Father Gallagher, would you say that this appreciation of Mary's role in our spiritual lives is almost like a mantle, as it were, that enwraps the spiritual exercises and the disciplines that Venerable Lanteri would encourage his directees to follow?
Yes, very much. And that is an essential piece of why, when he founded a religious community, it was simply unquestioned in his heart that it would ever be other than dedicated to Mary, the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. Because there is a tradition that goes back to the origins that Mary was instrumental in the giving itself of the spiritual exercises to St. Ignatius of Loyola. And the thinking behind this that gave rise to this tradition was that St. Ignatius, until he was 30 and had that conversion experience after he was wounded in battle, was something of an Augustine, as we've said in other conversations, lived very, very far from God, certainly. And then has this dramatic conversion on his convalescent bed, sets off across Spain, makes a life-changing confession. And then, so within months of this conversion in his life, without any long study or period of years of penance and repentance and the rest, goes to this small city of Manresa and spends the better part of a year there in prayer and service of the poor. And it's while he was there that this man who had just turned to God after being so far from him until that point in his life, had the experiences in prayer that gave him the basic content of the spiritual exercises. In fact, most of the spiritual exercises, this classic book, was written while he was there in Manresa. Later on, through subsequent years, he would complete this or that piece within it, but the real substance of it he wrote when he was there. Now, humanly speaking, that's inexplicable. You can't even imagine, humanly speaking, that a person who has been far from God within months of turning to God could ever, out of his human resources, even assisted by grace in the normal way, ever write something which is one of the great spiritual classics in the history of the church. And so those who were aware of this in the early Jesuit tradition had to assume that there was a special supernatural assistance at work in the fact that he could write this book at that time in his life, and understood this in terms of Mary. And so you have paintings, for example, which show him in Manresa writing with his quill in hand, writing on these pages of his notebook what became the spiritual exercises. And you see opposite him in the painting the Blessed Virgin Mary present to him, holding the child, and as it were dictating to him the content of the spiritual exercises. So that's how this arose. And not that St. Ignatius himself ever said that this was the case, but that there's a work of grace that has to be explained only in terms of some special intervention on the part of God. And Venerable Lanteri was one of those who deeply imbibed that tradition. And for him, it was an unquestioned reality that Mary was at the origin of these spiritual exercises. Now, of course, if you know that, I mean, in the text itself of the exercises, Mary is very present. That being the case, when Venerable Anteri came to be so deeply struck by, in his mind, the unique power of these spiritual exercises as a practical tool that anyone can approach in their many different forms, as the most effective tool in the Catholic Church to awaken dispositions of sanctity and service of God in the hearts of members of the Church. Well, it was evident then that when he gave this as the primary task to the religious community, he understood God was calling him to found, that Mary was going to be very central. Now, obviously, she was going to be central probably in any case. I mean, all that we've said just a bit earlier shows us how deeply central she was in his whole spiritual journey. But specifically in terms of the apostolate or the work that he gave to his oblates, it was evident to him that Mary was going to be deeply at the heart of this. And that's, as he says in his writings, one of the reasons why he wanted his community named Oblates of the Virgin Mary. Oblates, men who are dedicated, and then of the Virgin Mary, who are dedicated to this work of the exercises under the mantle of, as you said, under the protection of the Blessed Virgin Mary. You know, as you use that word mantle, Chris, that touched again for me the sense of how when we approach Mary, understandably, we find ourselves using maternal language. The mother mantles or wraps up her safely, her son or her daughter. One of the words that he used when he spoke of Mary, he, of course, spoke of her throughout his life as his mother and a very tender mother. Another word that he used was the Italian nodrice, which literally translated would mean nurse, but nurse in the sense of a newborn infant or a child just in the first months of his or her life. As I mentioned earlier, he'll use this kind of tender, maternal sort of language about his relationship with Mary. There is always for him, in any of these ways that we approach Mary, there is always the connotation of the softening of what may be hard, of the experiencing of something that is tender. I don't think there's a lot of tenderness in our culture today. If you think about it, you know, in our schools, unfortunately, in so many homes even, certainly in the workplace or in political life, there is not a great deal of tenderness in our culture today. And places where there is tenderness are deeply precious to us. For Venerable Anteri, it was evident that Mary was an overflowing space of tenderness. And that's why I think you see in him, we've mentioned before how he had to struggle to acquire the gentleness of Christ. In that struggle, or in the struggles with health, which were so present in his life, as we've said, or the persecutions of the church, when so many things were hard and difficult and burdensome, there was always this thread of tenderness woven into it, and that's what Mary was for him. And so certainly that's what she was for the Oblates as they dedicated themselves to this work of the spiritual exercises, or really to all the different aspects of their ministry.
Father Gallagher, do you think that we, I want to use the word suffer, do you think we suffer in potentially in our spiritual lives when that aspect of that maternal nurturing of the Blessed Virgin Mary is maybe undervalued or underappreciated? I think when we look at the life of St. Ignatius, his time period, and even that of Venerable Bruno, that the church and the people and the culture at large did not have a distancing from that Marian presence as we may have today in the life of not only the Catholic Church, but of course, maybe the Christian Church as a whole.
Well, you know what comes to mind, Chris, as you say that, as a way of expressing a response to that, would be the difference between a child returning home from school when the mother is there in the house to welcome him when he comes or her, and when the mother is not there, when the house is, the mother may return and so on later. But it's that, it's in either case, the day goes on, work gets done, and the rest. But when a mother is present, and a mother who has all the love and that a mother's heart could ever have is present in our lives, that's the difference. That's what happens in our spiritual life. In one sense, everything is the same. We still go to Mass on Sunday. We still try to pray every day. We try to be faithful to our vocation in marriage or in the home or priesthood or religious life. We try to be witnesses to Christ in the workplace. But what is different is that there's a warmth now. There's a tenderness. I keep coming back to that word. There's a goodness. There's a hopefulness. There's a confidence. There's a sense of not being alone. There's a sense that when the chips get down, I won't just be abandoned and have to struggle on my own. That's what Mary brings into our lives. And that's why saints like Saint Louis-Marie de Montfort will always say that Mary is the quickest and the easiest, the happiest way to come to Christ. What a mother brings into the home, that's what Mary brings into the spiritual life. And it can make all the difference. It can make saints.
We'll return to Begin Again with Father Timothy Gallagher in just a moment. Hi, this is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts, inviting you to an extraordinary opportunity to join Father Timothy Gallagher for an expanded and extensive online Discerning Hearts seminar retreat on the discernment of spirits, as taught by St. Ignatius of Loyola. This will be the longer form material, similar to the teaching Father Gallagher provides to seminaries and spiritual direction formation programs. This is a dive deeper than ever before into the 14 rules of spiritual discernment, which will take place on 3 consecutive Saturdays, with each day comprised of 4 different conference talks, all beginning on Saturday, May 30th. There will be time for question and answers after each conference talk with Father Gallagher. Each day shall last approximately 5 hours. This will provide nearly 15 hours of live formation with Father Timothy Gallagher, renowned spiritual master of the discernment of spirits. The talks will be available for on-demand viewing by participants who wish to review or for those who missed the live webinar, but you must be a registered participant to be able to access those recordings. Handout material will be emailed to participants several days prior to the sessions. To find out more and to register, go to discerninghearts.com for this online Discerning Hearts seminar retreat.
Litany of Loreto.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother Most Pure,
pray for us.
Mother Most Chaste,
pray for us.
Mother Inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother Undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother Most Amiable,
pray for us.
Mother Most Admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of Good Counsel,
Pray for us.
Mother of our Creator.
Pray for us.
Mother of our Savior.
Pray for us.
Virgin most prudent.
Pray for us.
Virgin most venerable.
Pray for us.
Virgin most renowned.
Pray for us.
Virgin most powerful.
Pray for us.
Virgin most merciful.
Pray for us.
Virgin most faithful.
Pray for us.
Mirror of justice.
Pray for us.
Seat of wisdom.
Pray for us.
Cause of our joy.
Pray for us.
Spiritual vessel.
Pray for us.
Vessel of honor.
Pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion.
Pray for us.
Mystical rose.
Pray for us.
Tower of David.
Pray for us.
Tower of ivory.
Pray for us.
House of gold.
Pray for us.
Ark of the Covenant.
Pray for us.
Gate of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Morning Star.
Pray for us.
Health of the sick.
Pray for us.
Refuge of sinners.
Pray for us.
Comforter of the afflicted.
Pray for us.
Help of Christians.
Pray for us.
Queen of angels.
Pray for us.
Queen of patriarchs.
Pray for us.
Queen of prophets.
Pray for us.
Queen of apostles.
Pray for us.
Queen of martyrs.
Pray for us.
Queen of confessors.
Pray for us.
Queen of virgins.
Pray for us.
Queen of all saints.
Pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin.
Pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven.
Pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary.
Pray for us.
Queen of families.
Pray for us.
Queen of peace.
Pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world.
Spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world.
Graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God.
That we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ.
Let us pray. Grant, we beseech thee, O Lord God, that we, thy servants, may enjoy perpetual health of mind and body, and by the glorious intercession of Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, may we be freed from present sorrow and rejoice in eternal happiness. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We now return to Begin Again with Father Timothy Gallagher. So as we enter into our spiritual exercises, our examine, there's and all the different things, spiritual reading and many of the other things we kind of structure and order our day around, hopefully, in the participation in the sacraments. Would you say that the fostering and the nurturing of that relationship with Mary should be present as well?
If it is present, and the more it becomes present, the happier, the more hope-filled things will become in our spiritual lives and in our lives in general. To use the metaphor that Pope John Paul II used so often, doors will open. Doors that seem shut. I can never change. I can never overcome that difficulty. This will never happen in my family or marriage. To our amazement, doors begin to open in the spiritual life. I'll just share one personal way in which this has come into my life. As I read the writings of Pope John Paul II over the 27 years of his pontificate, after a while, I began to notice how consistently he would, to use his own word, he would entrust things in his life to Mary, or any undertaking in the life of the church, the Great Jubilee, or any initiative that he would take. And that led me to want to explore a bit more about that, because that was new to me. I was aware of consecration to Mary, but entrustment was something new. And there is some very fine writing on this. And I read a couple of very fine studies of what that entrustment to Mary means. And it began to become important to me as well. If anybody's ever heard me speak in public, they probably by now can tell me what the first 2 or 3 minutes of my presentation is going to be. I will always begin by inviting those of us present to entrust to Mary the time that we're going to spend together, and entrusting to her the limits and the poverty of the way we can speak and hear, in the very sure confidence that entrusted to her, what we're about to do will become fruitful. And I will say that the words of the Memorare are true. In my own small, humble experience, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, and so on, was left unaided. And that's what will happen if we bring Mary warmly, quietly, humbly, but with great confidence into the ins and outs and the ups and downs of our daily spiritual living. As I'm saying, the church's experience is and remains that we are never left unaided. Doors open.
Father Gallagher, what would you encourage that person out there who has never been formed in or has an awareness of that role for Mary in the life, in our spiritual lives? And I'm sure you've encountered this as well, because there seems to be maybe even a generation or two, at least in the life of the Catholic Church, where that fullness of the Marian presence, I keep using that, but I don't know how else to, I can't think of a better word, her presence has not necessarily been a part of the formation of Catholics in particular. I mean, where would you encourage them to begin the process?
All right, I'll mention three things, but the first one is the one that I would suggest as the very beginning, and that is begin to pray to Mary. It doesn't matter how much or how little we feel we know of her, whether we've never or ever prayed to her, we can begin today, anytime, to pray to Mary, and it can be as concrete as just deciding to say one Hail Mary every day, or one at the beginning and one at the end of the day. Saying a decade of the Rosary. Well, a person might say, I don't even know anything about the Rosary, I've never prayed it. All we need to do is find out just the minimum to get started. And we will find that if we take even these small steps toward Mary, they will open up the way to the second and the third, and many more steps, blessed steps, than we could ever imagine as we begin. So I'd say the first thing is just begin to pray to Mary, and we can use the classic prayers of the church to get us started. They're very rich. That's why they're classic, because they're solid and rich and nourishing. Then I would say begin to notice Mary in the liturgy. When we're at Mass on Sunday, is Mary mentioned? Where in the Mass is she mentioned? Begin to notice the Marian feast days when we celebrate them in the church. January 1st, Mary, the Mother of God, and the rest of them, the Immaculate Conception. So begin to explore, just to begin to notice and become aware of the presence of Mary in the liturgy. But that phrase, the Blessed Virgin Mary, or however it's used in the liturgy, just be something that we're attentive to and noticing. And then the third thing that I'd say would be to try to do some reading about Mary. Or let's expand that into the digital world. Just get some podcasts on Mary. Go on to some websites, Catholic websites and listen to talks. There are all kinds of things on the web now about Mary. Begin to take in some formation about Mary, about how the Church understands her role, what part she played in the history of salvation and in the life of Jesus, how the Church relates to her, what place she's had in the lives of holy men and women down through the centuries in the Church. Where is she present in the Gospels? Maybe read those passages, the first chapters in Luke and the rest. I think that's more than enough to get us started. And you can't begin to tell someone who is so essentially a mother, as is the Virgin Mary, that you're interested in her, that you'd like to get close to her, without her responding more abundantly than we could ever imagine.
Final thoughts on this particular conversation, Father Gallagher?
I would say that the most basic thing that we've said on the practical level would be to begin to pray to Mary. If we are praying to Mary, to thank God for that and to let that continue to be a rich place in our lives. If we pray only infrequently to Mary, to explore whether Mary could become a part of our daily prayer in the way the Church offers her to us for prayer. And if we are not praying to Mary, to make the decision to begin to pray to her. And we will find the blessing that will come into our lives.
Holy Mary, pray for us.
Amen.
How wonderful. Thank you so much, Father Gallagher.
Thank you, Chris.
You've been listening to Begin Again, the spiritual legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We pray that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we ask that you tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Begin Again, the spiritual legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher.